Hello. Welcome to Release Your Wings. Martin Luther King once said, "Faith is taking the first step even when you don't see the whole staircase." Today's topic is the engine of faith. I'm Dan Bagley, and once again, I'm discussing this with my friend Shireen Chadha.
Hello, Dan. Shireen.
Wow, faith is the engine of faith, not just faith. How it really drives, creates our reality. And this is huge.
This is huge.
So there's lots of ways of looking at faith, and I think
let's define our terms.
Let's do it, because you've got a wonderful way of looking at it.
You know, the Hindi word that gets translated, the word actually I was thinking was in Hindi, or in Sanskrit. It's nischaya, or nischay. In Hindi, you cut off the A. So nischay is the word I was thinking, actually. And it gets translated as faith, but it's a little bit more than faith. When I was thinking of this topic, I was thinking of something a little bit more than faith. It is a conviction. It is a determined thought. It is the power to decide on something, especially here, a concept of spiritual concept, the power to decide on a spiritual concept and the power to implement that spiritual concept in your life.
So give me a specific one example and then we'll go to more.
I am a spiritual being having a human experience. I am a soul and this is my body and the soul is driving this body. So as a spiritual being, I'm having a human experience.
So it's almost like establishing the paradigm of here's who I am, here's the nature of reality.
Yeah, nature of reality. Because what happens is when you place your nischay, because nischay is a much more stronger word, it's a more action word than faith. So it's faith plus action.
Faithing.
Yes, faithing. And so this conviction that yes, but it should be a determined conviction. You should decide on it and you should implement it every day. You should implement it as often as you can. And that's what drives or changes your reality. So there is power in that kind of faith.
Absolutely.
And that power moves you forward. You know, many times our lives are actually a repeated pattern of bad behavior and bad things. You know, same things keep happening to us. It's almost like a broken record, you know.
Yes.
We keep going on. But if we want to move it forward, if I want to move my life forward, then this kind of nischay or faith is important. And that power that we receive from it keeps me moving us forward.
Got it. So what are some of the many things that we should have faith in or when we're going to harness this?
I would say four things. Four things. Faith in myself, or faith in myself as a soul, but not only that, but also as a soul, my original nature and qualities are love and peace and power and knowledge and bliss and all of those things.
Nice.
That is one faith. The other one is faith in God, but not only just faith in God as just, you know, as this being who has this little black book, you know, writing all your mistakes or, you know, all these limiting beliefs we have about God, but that He's the ocean of love. He's the ocean of knowledge. He's the ocean of bliss. And that by connecting with Him, that I belong to Him, and that His spiritual DNA is my spiritual DNA, that we share the same spiritual DNA. That's the other faith. And then the third faith would be on time. What's happening in time and where am I in time? You know, like that, especially this whole concept of this is a stage and this is my costume and the play is coming to an end and God's come here to take me home. That third one is very important. And the fourth one is faith with people all around us who are on this journey or who are with us, you know, people
faith
around.
Faith that there are other pure beings.
Yes, and whatever they're doing, that they will find their way. Even right now, they might not be doing the right thing, but they will find their way to the right thing, and that I should have faith in them. I should trust them to find their way.
You know, that creating that faith that is almost a statement, putting the flag in the sand and saying, this is what I am, this is what I believe, I think, by, for example, with others, seeing the pure being that someone else is, even if they're acting out, even if they're not demonstrating what a pure being would do and how we think about it, to see beyond the clutter. I believe that babies come with almost virtually no clutter, and they start learning it from the parents, from the environment and all. And by the time we're adults, we're pretty soiled. We're pretty cluttered up with some of the stuff that just needs to be let go, sloughed off. That understanding that there is goodness beyond what appears.
Yes. It's so important to have that conviction, that nischay in other people too, you know, that yes, they can. Because I feel I see into being. Mm-hmm. If I see that in them, that they will start demonstrating that. If I keep looking at their mistakes, then they'll start demonstrating the mistakes more.
A psychologist friend of mine has an expression. He says, name it, you claim it. If you say, I am always an angry person, you get to be that angry person because you're starting to create that perception that you'll live through. So that leads me to my next question. What are some obstacles to having good, pure, constructive faith?
I would say Maya. And the way I look at Maya, Maya is always translated as illusion, but I'm not thinking of just a physical illusion. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about a spiritual illusion which takes away from reality. Mm-hmm. And when I'm talking about a spiritual illusion is, I'm looking at life, right? And what happens is, my vices like fear and ego and attachment are veiled in front of my perception of the world. And so if my perception of the world is through these lenses, through these veils, then it's a convoluted, distorted perception. But what's happening is not only my perception of the world is that, but because of my perception, there is a conversation going on in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Based on that perception, which is through the vices. And that conversation I call Maya.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a little complicated.
No, but this comes to other discussions we've had. If we are, within our faith, a pure being of light and good, then the conversations of, am I good enough, are all part of the illusion.
Yeah, or is someone else good enough, or whatever.
Right.
But what happens is, Maya is very powerful, because we played with this perception, you know, we used this lens, we took support from this lens, with all the vices, right? We took support, we played with it, we gave it hospitality in our heads for so long that it's not just going to go away. So everything in its power, that spiritual illusion, which we call Maya, will come to break my faith, to create doubt. And, you know, for example, in others or even in myself, oh, maybe I'm not that, you know, worth it. You know, maybe, you know, it's just a saying, you know, maybe I'm going to die and nothing's going to happen and, you know, it'll all go to ashes and all of those things. And so this conversation is going on because for so long I believed that story.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to go past it. I have to go past this Maya, this illusion. And the way to do it is, you have to keep seeing it. You have to keep calling it this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not me. Me, the original, is pure. Me, the original, is love. This conversation, this thing I'm seeing, is not me. And so I have to keep outing it.
Right.
You know, I have to say, no, I have to shine a light on even Maya. So it's not enough to just shine a light on faith. I have to shine a light on my Maya.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's when I can go past.
And, you know, the conversation we've had, the psychological term I think of, we didn't use it there, was locus of control. And it's if we are an inside-out person, we start with our spiritual core and come out, then what someone says on the outside to us is almost irrelevant.
Right.
The stronger we're resonating with the basic goodness, the less likely someone...
But also, it's interesting how Maya plays out with other people. You know, like Maya uses other people to reflect, to mirror what you feel inside of yourself. So if you don't have self-respect, then Maya will bring... to tell you, yes, you don't have self-respect.
Yeah.
And then you believe it. Right? And so it's very, very important to know how this Maya works in creating doubt.
Yes.
You know, whether you're using other people as mirrors to create doubts in yourself, whether you're creating doubt about other people, all of these things. Maya is a very tricky thing. Because we've played with it for so long that it's not going to just leave us. And so we have to be very mindful. We have to be very understanding. We have to be in our total awareness and total self-respect and watch it like that, you know, not take support from it.
So let's harness this to practicality on a daily basis. Calling it is one thing when we see it, when we have doubts. Doesn't it really start with the morning meditation?
Yes, it's a regular practice. Not one day I get up, one day I don't, one day one day it's going to be at 7 in the morning, one day it's going to be at 5 in the evening.
Yeah, and it's not like a Band-Aid. When it hurts, I'll put some...
Exactly. It has to be a regular practice. It's very, very important. I cannot stress that more. Mm-hmm. You have to have a regular practice of meditation, but also you have to have a diet of wisdom going into yourself.
So reading proper things.
Reading proper things, whether whatever scripture, and of course everyone's welcome to come to the Brahma Kumari Center
course.
And listen to our Murlis.
And free meditation.
But making sure that a diet of wisdom is going in. Because otherwise you need something to cut it.
Yeah.
You know, you something to cut your previous conversation. You need another paradigm to go in and there and say and do it separately.
Also, the role of having a supportive community.
That is very important. Yeah. That's very, very important because what happens is, just like Maya acts as a mirror, mm-hmm. like other people say, if you're bad, they will come to reinforce, yes, you don't have any, they won't have mm-hmm. any respect for you. In the same way, a spiritual community will reinforce good things, mm-hmm. will act as a mirror for you to, it's like a protective thing. It acts like a mirror to protect you from your pitfalls and from your, you know, weird happenings in your head, that you ground yourself.
In choosing friends, a support group that represent the highest ideals, I think that's a really important thing too. We don't need people to be coming up with challenges, no, you've never been able to do that, or, you know, you're not a good person. I think that is important, that maybe, and it starts from the inside
the
out.
Company you keep.
The company we keep is reflective, as you've said, on what's going on inside us. I've heard a number of places I've seen this, but I have some psychologist friends who say, look at your five closest friends. That's who you are. I tell you, I've heard people in groups go, oh, at that thought, because really and truly, we pick up, we reflect back and forth, we are each other's mirrors in that construct. So, the engine of faith, what speeds up the engine? I'm working you toward good food also.
good food, but I want to say something very important before we end. That is that if you have these certain faith or conviction in eternal truths of who you are, who God is, what is going on, you know, all of those things, and faith in other people, then all else will fall into place. Everything else will fall into place. But the quote you were saying about the stairway, the MLK's stairway thing, that you don't know what the fourth step will be or the fifth step will be, but you can trust that if you have this nischay, then everything else will be fine.
And just taking the next step forward is all that's required, because the way
that's all you can take,
we get it one day at a time.
Yeah, that's all you can take, the next step forward.
Yeah, I think that's excellent. One final thought. We got 1 minute left. Do you have one?
You know, I feel that if you want to really change what's going on, if you want to change the pattern in your life, right, that's why we were talking about this as an engine, is it needs to move you forward, then you have to be willing to change your lifestyle, whether it's food, whether when you wake up, what you hang out, who you hang out with, everything has to change.
Good. And change in a way of knowing that you are pure, you are love, and you are meant to make a difference in this world. I like that. Thank you, Shireen.
Thank you, Dan.
Thank you for joining us. Goodbye.